This is the Here Here podcast. Today we interviewed Kate Chrisman from Chrisman's Wyndham House and Golf Course in Wyndham, New York. Thank you for listening. Tonight we're joined by Kate Chrisman of Chrisman's Wyndham House in Wyndham, New York. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Howdy. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Of course. Let's start it off with kind of a brief history of the Wyndham House. It goes back many generations. Evan, I'm expecting you to chime in a little bit here at times with a kind of a parallel life with your family as well. But give us kind of the brief rundown.
The rundown is that the resort has been a resort since 1805. Originally, it was a drover's tavern. And if you came through town with a horse and buggy, you're delivering stuff to Buffalo or Rochester on the Catskill Turnpike, which is now Route 23, you needed a place to sleep for the night and park your horses and your carriage. And that was one of the spots available to do it. So it's unique in that it's always been a hotel or a tavern.
Mm.
And my grandparents purchased the property in 1952. And they bought it from the Sanfords, who had been running it since the Mungers were there. So we're the third family to be involved with the property since it was originally built in 1805.
Oh, wow.
The Sanfords had a farm on the valley where there's now the nine-hole golf course. That was a working farm, a dairy farm. And my grandparents kept that going for quite a while. And after some time, in around the 70s, it was very busy there. And then my grandfather chalks it up to the invention of air conditioning was what really decimated the Catskills resort business in upstate, because air conditioning became popularized in New York City, where it wasn't originally widely available at all. It was a real luxury to have AC. And then when it became popular, people didn't need to escape the heat of the city anymore, so they could stay in the city all summer long and not have to hide in the cool Catskill Mountain air.
Right.
And it affected the resort business. He swears by that. It was the air conditioning that did it in. So then it wasn't so busy anymore, and he and my father were trying to figure out entertainment for the guests, something as a draw for people to have an activity to do, something for vacationers. And the swimming pool was the first thing that went in. I can't remember exactly which other resort around here. Do you remember which one had the first swimming pool, Evan? I don't remember who had the first swimming pool, but they put in a swimming pool in the 60s, and that was a really good draw for people. And then the next one was to build the nine-hole valley course. So they built that and planted all those trees, and it became a golf course on the valley. And that's when they're like, let's keep it going. We have this property. It's an old sugar bush in the back. It was old farmland, like in the 1700s, early 1800s. That was all farm up there where the golf course is now. And a lot of it was cleared already or semi-cleared because it was farmland. But a lot of it was just solid forest. So that took a long time for my dad to design it. Growing up, he was always on his tracing table. My uncle, who's a pilot, flew over the property and they just took a photo out of the airplane because there was no satellite images back then. So they just took a photo outside of the mountainside, and he used that to design that and start cutting down trees and clearing it, and built the golf course using that template and has been working on it ever since and still is. And my grandparents kept going with their hotel guests. We still have one family left from the time of my grandparents being there, is the Lynch family. They've been coming now for about 40 years to Chrisman's Wyndham House. And they are now in their fourth generation of kids coming up with that family. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's amazing.
And that's the short version of the resort.
But yeah, so they were here and established well before it was a ski area.
It was.
As well.
There was skiing in the area. The ski mountain, I cannot remember the name of that mountain that is over the hill when you're on County Route 10 and you go all the way to the Prattsville side and you can still see the trees aren't fully grown in yet. What was the name of that mountain? I cannot. Was it Bear Pen Mountain?
Was it Bear Pen?
It may have been.
Yeah.
I'm not
because
totally sure about that.
There was
that.
Someone who went out and cleared some of that. There's a new owner out there who's done some work out there.
Yeah. So it might have been Bear Pen Mountain was a little ski mountain, and Windham Mountain was just getting started. And, you know, they had the rope toe up there. So they grew up skiing, but it was just getting started, I guess, in the 50s and really in the 60s, I believe, was when but I don't know that history in detail of exactly when Windham got started.
When your father and your grandfather decided to build a golf course and your father was drawing out the 18-hole golf course, did he have any training in that? Or he...
Yeah, and you guys will have to have him come down here to do an interview
absolutely.
With you because he can go on and on about that. But he studied landscape architecture. He originally went to St. Lawrence University and was working on a science degree, and then he went to Cornell University, and he has a degree in a term that I, no matter how many times he tells me, I can't remember it, but he's a grass scientist. It has a technical name that I don't remember.
Whoa.
But he is a grass scientist. He knows all about it, and he did study landscape architecture, so he had some experience there. So we kind of knew what he was doing. He did a lot of developments in the country at the Country Club golf course because they've been around longer than Chrisman. So when he was working after high school, he worked with Randy Tuttle at the Country Club, and he designed a lot of the renovations that happened there in the 80s.
Wow.
And a lot of the layout that's there that they're going to change in a couple of years was a layout that he had designed and built with them. So he had experience in the landscape architecture. He knew about the grass, and he learned from his experience at the Country Club. So he had a pretty good idea. He was like, okay, I've done it over there, and now I want to do it on my terms.
Yeah.
By my design.
So whatever that exact term is for a grass scientist, it sounds like he is the most qualified person to manage a golf course.
He is qualified, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, who knew there were so many different species of grass on one golf course?
Yeah, Brian does.
There's a lot going on.
Brian does.
On that grass.
So what else do you have at the resort? You have a restaurant?
We have now... In 2024, we have 18 holes on the mountain golf course. We have the 9-hole valley golf course. We have about 50 hotel rooms. We have the pool. We have foot golf, which is like golf soccer, which is fun. And we have a tennis court, and we have a bar and restaurant, the 1805 Tavern.
Yes. Well, we talked about this a little bit beforehand, but you stepped away from the family business for a bit, had your own career path, and chose to circle back around. What was the career that you were working at, and what?
That's what exactly brought- what it was circling back around. I originally left Windham to go to live in Stony Brook, Long Island. I went to school at Stony Brook. I studied business management. And after I graduated from there, a friend that I had studied abroad with had this great job working for Sherwin-Williams Paint Company. She recommended me for the job and, you know, said, this is a great job. It's great pay and benefits. You learn sales. It's so cool. Let's do it. We'll do the paint thing together. So I went to Sherwin-Williams and I worked there for 7 or 8 years. I managed 3 different stores on Long Island for Sherwin-Williams. So I was I'm strangely a color and paint expert. I know all the things about paints and coatings. Kind of a funny thing to have deep knowledge about, but it's actually useful and applicable now to me.
Sure.
But it was a funny thing coming back home. I met my husband through work. He worked for Sherwin-Williams. We worked together for about a year before he got promoted and moved on and up in the company. And when we got together, it was, where do we want to live? What do we want to do? And I just, you know, on a personal note, I just said, you know, would you be interested in moving to Wyndham? I would really love to work with my family at the resort. And he was just like, that's incredible. Let's do it. 100%. I'd love to live there. He had visited a couple times and loved it. And because I had such a great support system there, I felt empowered to put it down. COVID hit. It was 2020. And I spent a lot of time in the paint store just sitting there doing nothing because nobody was doing anything anywhere.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there, and a few weeks of doing that, I just felt, you know, what am I doing here? I felt totally lackluster about the paint industry at the time. And I had a really great boss and mentor. His name is John Lonizak. And I love that guy dearly. He was so supportive of me when I told him I wanted to leave. I gave like 3 months notice. I said, you know, in December, I'm done. I'm going to finish out the year and then I'm leaving. And that's when Alex got a job working the Hudson Valley territory for Benjamin Moore Paints. And he's still in that position. And when he got that job, for a year and a half, he lived with my parents and I lived on Long Island.
Oh, whoa.
For maybe not a year and a half, but yeah. Over a year, yeah. He lived here with my parents because he got the job before I was ready to leave my job.
Yep.
So he lived here with my mom and dad and has all kinds of fun inside jokes with them that I'm not allowed to be a part of to this day. Because you spend so much time with them.
Well, I guess that was the litmus test of if it would work out or not.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
It may have worked a little too well.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
So then I just moved back, and it was a funny process fitting back in here. Coming back to town, you know, I know so many people, and there's so many people that have come and gone, people I didn't know, people I hadn't seen. I was gone for about 11 years. And of course, I visited in between, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah, it's being here. Yeah.
So meeting new people was interesting because I'm making old friends and new friends and seeing where I kind of fit back in. And that was a really strange time. I didn't feel that I fit in the business or in the town socially. It was kind of awkward to find my place again. 3 years later, I feel much more comfortable and at home again.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it, though. We had a league party for the beginning of the season that spring when I moved back, and we were choosing teams for ladies league, and Charlotte Osborne came up to me and she said, okay, we're gonna golf together in the same team, right? And I didn't know Charlotte at all, and I just said, yeah, that sounds fun. Nobody else had wanted me on their team because undoubtedly I'm going to be awful at golf, right? Which I'm not great, and I'm working on it. I'm getting better. But she just took me under her wing and was so kind and welcoming and friendly to me. And I think most people just assumed, why would I need to, like, for someone to reach out to me, you know, here you are again. But it was really amazing what that did for my confidence and self-esteem moving back home, to have someone just take me in like that. She taught me some rules of golf that ashamedly I didn't know. You know, you're not supposed to walk in front of people's lines on the putting green.
Sure.
But if you're not told, you don't know. I grew up golfing at night with my dad. I would just go.
I moved away for 11 years. Okay.
All right. But I didn't golf seriously in high school, so I didn't learn all of those little technical rules.
Yeah.
So I had to relearn a lot about golf.
Yes. Part of the re-entering process.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It was quite a process, actually. And I'm still working on it. I do my lessons. I'm getting better. Things aren't great, but they're on the up and up.
So if you're looking for golf advice, go to the golf pro in the golf shop.
Definitely call Eric or Dylan and do not talk to me. I will not give you good advice. If anything, you'll be much worse off after our conversation.
That's only about golf. Everything else, Kate's got it covered. Okay. We got pros in the shop for a reason.
I do my best, but they're the best resource for that.
So did you come back when you were done at Sherwin-Williams? Was that like cold turkey? You were done when you came back to Wyndham full time? You were
Yeah, I was working life. And living in Glen Cove. I lived in a little apartment. We called it the shoebox. Mm. It was an attic of someone's home, and the ceilings were, you know, six foot five, maybe 8 inches. So it was real tight in the shoebox. So we left the shoebox, and I just, cold turkey, moved back here, and immediately felt overwhelmed by the amount of work that needed to be done, not knowing where to start, not knowing what I should do with my days. Everything was covered. You know, the office was covered, the phones, the restaurant, things were in place, but it was about, how do I just help?
And I was, where do you fit?
Support staff, right, is where I still fit.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I'm support. I'm support for everyone, is how to make the job easier for everyone who knows what they're doing better with it. Like the golf pros, for instance, or the bartenders. It's, you know, making sure that everybody has what they need to do their thing.
To do their job the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's still what I do. I mean, I do a lot of office work. I do a lot of renovation work in the rooms, a lot of cleaning. I'm like the cleaner upper. Okay. I am very unqualified IT support.
Yes.
For the computers there. And it's a lot of just support and making sure that everyone has what they need is pretty much what my job is.
Yeah. I might struggle a little bit to formulate this question, but coming from the family, such a big family name in the town, and the resort life, and then kind of returning into that life, how has that been?
I guess odd.
Yeah.
Because I grew up doing it. So there was just certain things that have remained constant, like, you know, focusing on the customer experience. That's my entire childhood. The guests ate first, then the employees would eat, and then us kids would eat, and then my parents would eat. Mm. Like, and that just goes for everything, not just eating.
Yeah.
That's just the order of priority, is making sure that the customer has whatever they want first and foremost, making sure that the staff has everything they need. And that translated very well, because that's just been a constant, and it's what made me successful at my job, you know, even at the paint store, was that I had a real customer focus and kind of an owner's mentality of it, of taking responsibility. And I never hesitated to dive into the work. So I did well in that role because of that mentality that I grew up with. That was just our family culture.
Yeah.
So work ethic is something that was just exactly how it was left off.
Yeah.
When I got back. So transitionally, that all worked well because I have a good fundamental understanding of the business and what is going on. What the goal is to make sure that people have a good vacation and a nice time. A big difference that was so refreshing was that in the working in the paint store, people are coming there because they have to do this miserable task. They're about to paint. They don't want to do that. Or they had a leak in their ceiling, you know, and now they have to fix it. Or they have to choose colors for a house they don't even
live
in.
It's a chore. Yeah,
it's a total chore.
They're coming to you because they have a chore to do.
There's something horrible happening in their life that they're having to paint. So in the resort industry, everyone's coming there because they're on leisure time. It's a pleasure activity. It's vacation. And that has been delightful, that the incoming phone calls and the people showing up are there to have a good time and not hoping that I will make their horrible time less horrible. So it's
you're
really
starting
nice.
Off, yeah, you're starting off on the right foot.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, that's been great.
Yes.
It's so positive. And that positivity is just enthralling for me because I spent so long without it. I didn't even realize how much I really miss that, is people just being on vacation.
Mm.
It's a nice mindset to work with.
Absolutely.
So transitionally, it was a very easy transition like that because I already understood the business. So then coming back and circling back to it, it was just coming home again. I know what's going on. I know what people need, or I see the need. And then it's just a matter of how do I fit in to get it there.
Yeah. And I think that's such a cool thing to to talk about and to share, because I think anybody who takes on a challenge like that to return, especially to a family business and to share a space that is very personal, but even stepping up to a role that maybe you're not super comfortable with, or you're really unsure of exactly what your role is and your strong points and your weak points, and coming back and really facing that, but facing that in a space where it is all family, which maybe some days makes it easier and some days makes it harder, but facing that challenge, finding your spot, finding your groove, and being willing to, you said three, how long have you been
3 back?
3 years. 3 years. So really work on that for 3 years until you say, okay, this is my zone. This is my role. This is what I'm doing.
And 3 years later, I'm much more comfortable making the schedules, you know, working the different shifts. I try to work with people all over, so I understand what their roles are better. And I'm really excited. We're getting new software for the hotel and stuff like that. I feel more comfortable implementing change now that I've taken 3 years of just observing and listening and learning.
Yeah.
I have to give my parents a lot of credit because they are extremely patient with me. And I like to think I'm patient too. But people ask me, oh, it must be awful. You work with family. You know, how horrible is that? But it's really not so bad. I think it's nice to spend the time. We enjoy each other's company. And when we disagree, it's always something that can be tabled, thought about, and then brought back out and discussed. So there's not been a lot of friction there. It's been great. And I do have to give shout out to Brian and Ruth Christman for the patience.
Gotta love them.
Because they have been extremely patient with me in my learning process. And it's a lot for them to sit back and wait for me to figure some stuff out for myself.
Yes.
You know? Can't, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day.
And that's right.
And my mom tells me when she got there, when she and my dad got together, she had to work with her mother-in-law because it was my dad's parents who originally purchased the business and were running it. And my grandma, she says, gave her a lot of patience, but she had so much that she wanted to change and do, and just in terms of renovating the rooms, in terms of how certain processes are completed, she had a lot of thoughts and ideas for it. And she recognizes that same feeling in me. And she's done a really nice job so far of, okay, all right. Some battles she's like, no, we definitely don't want to do that yet. And then other times she's like, ah, this is not my fight today. Do it your way. Good luck. So to her credit, she's extended a lot of patience toward me.
Speaking of some changes, what were some, you guys have some really cool things on the schedule this summer, from this past summer, and made some changes around the restaurant. You want to talk about some of those?
Absolutely. We have changed a lot about the business. Unfortunately, in 2021, we lost the original farm barn that my father spent 30 plus years renovating into a golf pro shop
sad
and a
day
tavern.
For, yeah, sad day for all of Wyndham.
That was a really tough day. That was awful. So losing that building, it was okay. Now we have to start from scratch all over the place, because we need first and foremost to have a golf shop for golfers to be able to come to. And they operated out of a trailer, a construction trailer, for over a year. And now there's a new pro shop on the property, and it is absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And we recognize the need for outdoor seating because so many people enjoyed the deck on that tavern that we used to have. So we added this year we just opened the new patio, which Jack Keith built himself. It took him over 5 months. It is all dry masonry. There's no mortar or concrete involved.
It is gorgeous.
Just rocks on rocks.
Yep.
It is a grand puzzle.
Yes.
And it is absolutely beautiful. He put so much work into that. So now we have a nice big patio deck for people to eat at, which is really great. And the pro shop, now we're offering indoor golf in the wintertime because we have the simulator in the pro shop, which is really nice to be able to have. Dylan Thompson brought that to us and has that simulator. So golf lessons all winter long for me, which are very much needed. But all kinds of changes. We're talking about rearranging the valley a little bit, moving where the driving range is. There's always something on the up and up with Brian Christman. He's always got an idea up his sleeve, something he wants to change. He likes big projects. My mom says he likes digging in dirt.
Yes.
So as long as he gets to play with those big Tonka toys, he's happy.
Yep. Yep.
So more coming soon, that there's always something new going on.
Yeah. On the entertainment side, you guys had a very solid schedule this summer.
Oh, thank you.
There was lots of music.
Yep.
Stand-up comedy.
Yep.
What was one of the other events? You had food trucks.
We did food truck festival. We had stand-up comedy night. We had a really big, our big annual 4th of July weekend party was on July 6th this past summer. We usually do it on the closest Saturday to the 4th. And that's a really great event. We have live music. We do kind of carnival stands where we'll have like cotton candy and popcorn. We had a food truck. And that is really just a huge party because of the fireworks.
Yes.
We had something ridiculous this past summer. I don't even know how many fireworks got shot off from that valley, but it was cool. That was an outstanding fireworks show. So we always try to keep stuff going. There's things for the hotel guests or for the golf members, but we're trying to do more stuff to bring the town in and make local people feel welcome to come and enjoy. There's a lot to be done still moving forward into next year. We want to have something every weekend, which is hard to do, but we can coordinate it. And Bonnie Clancy gets all the credit for that because she books and coordinates the bands and the food trucks and the comedian and all that stuff is a lot of work, the event coordination. And we're going to have even more of that. Some stuff that we tried this summer, we'll bring it back next year and it'll be even bigger, like the food truck fest or the Blind Hawaiian golf cart race, which I'd like to see the two of you participate in.
Whoa. Okay. Wait a minute. Run this back. What is this?
The Blind Hawaiian. It's where you, well, there's different prizes, you know, but the first thing is you have to decorate your golf cart and dress appropriately, like you're Hawaiian.
Okay.
So it's Hawaiian themed. Okay. And there's a luau party afterward at the pool. We have a barbecue. But the blind part comes in where you have an obstacle course. The driver is totally blindfolded and the passenger is directing the driver of the golf cart how to get through the obstacle course.
Oh, my God.
A lot of hilarity ensued.
Wait,
on this
where
day.
Where is it set up?
On the Valley Golf Course, but the thing is, there's different ways to get points, right? So the back of the golf cart has a bucket of water, and you have to make it back to the finish line with the however much water is in the bucket is like extra points for you in case you missed a gate. So you start in the Valley Golf Course, and the very first obstacle is you have to get over the speed bump. That's the first thing you have to do. And then we have the participants are going through a racetrack of cones that they have to get through certain gates, and then they get down to the lawn party portion of the race where there are sprinklers that they have to avoid. Like active.
This is Mario Kart vibes.
Yeah.
Through and through.
We had like a kind of janky broken tent that they had to drive under without hitting the sides because it actually did collapse if you hit it. Which The second cart that went hit right. It was Charlie Mulhound. He hit right into the side of it and the entire thing came down on the cart. So that was fun. And there's, you know, balloon arch. You can't pop them. There's all kinds of penalties and stuff.
Is this part of a tournament?
No, this is just something we're going to do for the public that anyone can sign up. You don't have to golf. It's not a golf event. It's the Blind Hawaiian. You come, you decorate your cart, you wear your grass skirts, and you have a partner, someone hopefully you have great communication with.
Hopefully the communication skills are on
point. The communication has
to
be on point because you can't just tell them right or left. You know, it's how much to the right, how much to the left.
Yeah.
So it becomes very fun very quickly.
If you're looking for an argument, you know, bring...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That was a really funny day.
Do you have
how people work together.
Do you have a date set for that?
We do not have a date set for that.
Okay.
Coming summer 2025, Blind Hawaiian.
The Blind Hawaiian. Wow. where crashing the golf cart is expected.
Yeah.
So fully keep that in mind. Yeah.
Like we had a cutout of Hasbulla. You know, you had to avoid hitting Hasbulla.
Yeah.
He was out there.
Of course.
There was some like a little
love
bit
to see him.
A WWE
love to see him at an
theme.
Event. Yeah.
But yeah.
That's unreal. Talking to people around the 4th of July. The amount of people that were there for the first time this year, and that was just word of mouth. And, of course, a lot of us know about it from years past. But people who are second homeowners or regular Wyndham people, I think it just worked out this year that they were up here for the full for the week because of how the dates landed.
Yep.
And they ranted and raved about the food, the outdoor party, and then, of course, the fireworks. And I think it set a bar this past year, set a bar
yeah,
for a lot
we,
of people. Yeah,
we outdid ourselves with the fireworks this past year. And now we're all scratching our heads like, well, we got to do it bigger next year. Yeah, right. How are we going to do that? That was pretty wild, though. The fireworks show this past year was something else entirely. We were compared to Disney World.
Oh,
someone
yes.
said it was like Disney
Let's
World.
Let's go. Let's go.
It's a good compliment.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Chrisman's, the Disney World of Wyndham.
That is a great, that could go on the ad for next year's yes. fireworks yeah. show. Yeah, we'll make it, somehow we'll try to make it bigger and better next year.
Yeah, so 4th of July is the whole parking lot. It's full to the brim with people, music, food. The Blind Hawaiian is on the Valley Course. Again, full parking lot, full zone down there. Regular events, the patio is right adjacent to the dining room where the music is, the comedians are. Everybody can hang out. You can hear inside or outside.
Publicly accessible events are what we're going for.
Absolutely.
Trying to make more fun, bring in more fun, because we're always over there having fun. And this year on the radio ads, we've been saying, you know, we've got the golf and the dining, but most importantly, we've got the fun.
Yeah.
Is we want people to know they are welcome to come and enjoy, whether they're golfers or not. It's for everyone.
Yeah. And that checks a box. I think, in Wyndham, one of the things that constantly comes out is outdoor seating.
Yep.
Live music. And some sort of entertainment.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's such a, it requires all of the legwork of making it happen, but it's something that a lot of people are looking for up here. So I think really checking a box.
Yeah, we're in a tourist town and doing something that tourists can enjoy, but also all of us local people can enjoy is important, bringing the two together and making a little bit of a harmony there because there's a sweet spot.
Oh, absolutely.
And music is a sweet spot.
Music is a sweet spot. Evan, what did you have to add over here?
Well, I mean, it's my favorite event is Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday.
Taco. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
Let's not burrito around the bush. Okay?
There we go.
We're going to talk about it because we are Nacho Average Tavern.
Oh, I'm just trying to come up with one. Just give me a second.
There's a lot.
Salsa.
The ad has plenty in there, I promise you. Kate came up with her all herself. So.
I'm going to tell Jay Fink to just run it back next summer because I was covering the bar on every Tuesday is Taco Tuesday, where we have imported from Mexico ingredients, truly authentic Oaxacan style tacos and burritos. And we have great quesadillas and nachos too. But Taco Tuesday, it's one of those things where there's a lot of taco nights in different places. But time and time again, people have come for Taco Tuesday, enjoyed the tacos, and then just been like, oh yeah, I'm coming back. And they do. Like every Tuesday, there's been a crowd for Taco Tuesday. And one night I was covering the bar on a Taco Tuesday and someone came in mentioning that they had come because they heard the radio ad that I, you know, incorporate a lot of puns into this ad. So I was helping them and I said, oh yeah, like let's talk about it. Let's not burrito around the bush. And they're like, you sound just like the ad. And I said, well, that's me. That's me recording. I am the person on the ad. And they were like, what do you mean? I was like, yeah, like we're not your average tavern. That's me. And it was so funny. They said, you know, we heard you on the radio. We come here. It's actually like you serving the tacos with the puns.
Let's go.
I told them, that's what I'm here for. I like punny things.
Taco about it.
Let's talk about it.
Taco about, you know? Taco Tuesday.
It's a big day. Tuesday's a downer. You got to do something to make it fun.
What picks you up better than tacos?
Not much.
Cervezas.
Tacos and a Corona? Oh, yup.
Done.
Deal.
What do you guys do during the wintertime?
Good question. Because we're plotting right now. Plotting and scheming our winter projects. Project season.
All right.
Wintertime is project season. Fall time is project season. So we're going to keep renovating some of the rooms. There's a lot to do there. We will continue working on some things in the golf shop, just some fine finishes, little projects there. But this winter, a lot of the focus is going to be on bringing in skiers who maybe have gotten a little Wyndham shy, you know, and are heading over to Hunter and Bel Air. We want to bring people back to Wyndham for skiing, snowboarding, just winter hiking, winter activities. So we're going to be doing some advertising and some focus there of getting people to come and stay and enjoy Wyndham for winter sports, because that's widely what Wyndham is popular for. We have
and that hasn't changed despite certain things that have happened. It hasn't changed.
There's other factors, but it's Wyndham still accessible, is a winter sports town.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has been, and our busy season is the opposite of a lot of the businesses who are really crowded in the wintertime. We're really crowded in the summertime. Mm-hmm. But wintertime is a really nice time to be at Christmas, too.
Yeah. Do you keep the restaurant open in the winter?
The restaurant is not open in the wintertime.
Okay.
We had tried to do that many times throughout the years, and it never worked out for us. We're not a great location for a restaurant when you're coming from Wyndham Mountain. You either go down Church Street and you're in the heart of town, or you go and you take a left onto South Street. And when you get to the end of South Street, the world drops off, is what we always say. Yeah. Because it is just a small circle. It's like the Wyndham 500 right there, you know? And most people do not venture outside of the Wyndham 500. So we were never able to sustainably keep a restaurant open in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. But that's why we go all out in the summertime.
Yep. Run the summer business and use the winter time for settling plotting and planning and taking care of the backside of the business.
There's a lot of backside, a lot of planning, a lot of work for our golf groups and for planning the member events like the Blind Hawaiian, which is really a public event, but we do all kinds of stuff for the membership as well.
Yeah.
So wintertime is planning season and project season. It's a lot of fun. There's not as much stress because it's so quiet on the property in the fall and the winter and in the spring, early spring. It's a little sad. Everybody kind of leaves. All the snowbirds fly back to Florida. And it's a bummer when everybody goes home for the winter time, but that makes the spring that much sweeter.
Yep.
When everybody comes back, it's like, yes, we're back in action. It's fun time.
We're back, baby.
Yep.
Awesome. How soon do you guys have a schedule set for summer events?
We should have our summer schedule set by the end of January.
Very cool. And
tentative schedule.
Yeah, of course, with rain dates and all of that as the time plays out. What's the website?
The website is www.wyndhamhouse.com.
Very cool. And on that, you can see all of the upcoming events.
Our events are mainly posted on Facebook. Follow us on Facebook at Chrisman's Wyndham House Resort and on Instagram at Chrisman's Wyndham House Resort. I always keep that up to date with events. Facebook is the best spot for the events, but the website has all kinds of information for membership, for the golf, for the hotel, for the restaurant. A lot of good information on the website. But social media, we keep on it. Tag us. I'd love to repost.
There were some absolutely stellar fall photos from people golfing.
Oh yeah.
The colors this year were unreal.
What a beautiful fall we've had.
Yeah. And it held on. It held like
it's
just
still,
when
it's
you thought it
going.
Was over, it was like, oh, just kind of the color changed a little bit to a different color. Like
we're
okay.
in a lovely burnt orange kind of space now. I'm really digging.
There was a yellow zone for a minute.
Yes.
That was just everything was yellow, and it's like, okay, we're still here.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
It's funny how you go to sleep one night, you wake up the next day, and it's a totally different color outside than it was the day before.
Yeah.
It's been nice.
I think a good one to finish this out would be Chrisman's is legendary for their 4th of July parade that they put together. Wyndham's 4th of July parade, and it's not a float, a caravan. The caravan that Chrisman's put together.
Next year, caravan and float. This year was the Batmobile, which my dad built out of an old Toro Workman and some cardboard, and he used a big butane torch as the fire on the back of the Batmobile, which was extremely dangerous. He had me follow in the next cart with a fire extinguisher. And he said, you know, you won't need this. And I said, well, then why am I bringing it? And he just turned around and said, well, you might need it. So
keeps it real, keeps it 100. You're not gonna need this. You might,
but you might.
That's as real as it gets,
but you might. So just keep it on you
for years. For years, Chrisman's float has been a staple of the 4th of July.
We had about 25 golf carts. Maybe I'm exaggerating because I love it, but yes. maybe it was only 15. There was a lot of golf carts out this year.
Do you have you got some of your own ideas burning in the back of your head
for 4th of July? I am accepting all ideas. So ooh. If you are so inspired, feel free to reach out to me, because we are in need of ideas.
Oh, ideas here, people. Let's
bring
go.
Them on.
Let's make next 4th of July parade.
My mind is open to some good 4th of July floats.
Oh.
I mean, you can't really ever beat what the Thompson House did float-wise, though. Honestly, it was incredible. Movie every time. It was always a Disney or Pixar movie, full costume. It was awesome. That's goals.
What do you say, Evan?
Back in the day, it was like Chrisman's versus Thompson House.
Truly, a rivalry of the sisters.
In the 4th of July. It was who's going to have the best parade. Float.
Yep.
It was a huge.
We need.
There's a trophy.
We need this.
It's,
we need
it's
this.
It's a real
competition.
It
we
is.
We need this competition.
It real.
Back.
Like it's different now, right?
Of course.
Now it's just I'm gonna make a float and have it. It's more of like a marketing campaign.
Sure.
Whereas back in the day, like we used to lock the garage.
You're not
allowed to see it.
People would sneak over to each other's place to try and see what they're doing.
We need this.
It was heavy.
We need this spirit back. We need the spirit
yes,
back.
It was
true.
It was a different time back in the. This is like 80s to 90s.
80s and 90s where it was like hardcore. Costumes, makeup, hair,
oh, yeah.
Everything. And we walked the entire thing.
Yep. Whether I'm holding a banner or I'm on the float with a coconut bra and grass skirts.
Yep.
Didn't matter. Did it all.
Folks, if you have any photo evidence of that.
Oh, we've got lots.
I have.
Albums of it.
Throw yourself
know,
right under
I
the bus.
If you want
right
it, I'll post it on our Instagram if you want it. No, I won't.
That'll be the background photo
that would
for this
add a
episode.
Nice visual.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I think that would be a good visual. Evan in a coconut bra.
I was like 8, so nothing really good to look at.
As opposed to now, which would just like
still
blow
not good
mind.
To look at. Just a little bit taller.
All right, let's bring back 4th of July. Let's get the ideas going.
Yep.
Let's bring the competitive floats back to Wyndham.
I would love that.
This is
let's
a good goal.
Yeah.
We got to rally the troops, get all the businesses excited. We need real floats.
Yeah. Not just marketing. Let's make this something that people talk about.
Right?
A spectacle, if you will.
Yeah.
Ooh,
let's make ourselves.
Like the word.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's make ourselves a spectacle here. One more time. The website?
WyndhamHouse.com. Easy to remember, easy to find. WyndhamHouse.com.
And the Facebook page.
Chrisman's Wyndham House Resort. There is, confusingly, an old Facebook page that was hacked called Country Inn and Golf Resort. That's not it. Chrisman's Wyndham House Resort is the correct Facebook.
Chrisman's Wyndham House Resort.
Resort.
On Facebook and Instagram.
Find us.
Awesome. Kate, it's been amazing. Thank you so much for coming
in
and talking to us.
Thank you, Evan.
Thank you very much for coming in, Kate. This is awesome.
And 4th of July this year is going to pop off. Let's go.
Let's do it.
That was Kate Chrisman of Chrisman's Wyndham House here in Wyndham, New York. For more information, go to WyndhamHouse.com. To see their events, go to their Facebook page, Chrisman's Wyndham House Resort. You are listening to the Hear Here podcast, hosted by Jesse Novak, produced by Evan Gutcha. Thank you very much for listening.